the name that was given by the angel before he was conceived. And then when the days stipulated by Moses for purification were complete, they took him up to Jerusalem to offer him to God as commanded in God's law. Every male who opens the womb shall be a holy offering to God. And also to share the pair of, or to sacrifice a pair of doves and two young pigeons prescribed in God's law. And it says, in Jerusalem at that time, there was a man, Simeon by name, a good man. A man who lived in the prayerful expectancy of help from it for Israel. And the Holy Spirit was on him, and the Spirit had shown him that he would see the Messiah of God before he died. Led by the Spirit, he entered the temple. I love how that says that. He was led by the Spirit. He entered the temple just as the parents of the child Jesus brought him in to carry out the rituals of the law. And Simeon took him into his arms and blessed God and said these words, God, you can now release your servant, speaking of himself. Release me in peace as you promised. With my own eyes, I have seen your salvation. And now out in the open for everyone to see. A God-revealing light to the non-Jewish nations and of glory for your people, Israel. And then it says, Jesus' father and mother, they were speechless with surprise at these words. And then a little further on you read, and it says, Anna the prophetess was also there, being in the temple, a daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher. She was by now a very old woman. And she had been married 7 years and a widow for 84. She never left the temple area, worshiping night and day with fastings and prayers. And at the very time Simeon was praying, she showed up. Isn't it interesting how God converges all of this? And she broke into an anthem of praise to God and talked about the child to all who were waiting expectantly for the freeing of Jerusalem or for the redemption of Jerusalem. Now, I just want to take a moment and ask, why these two? Why are these two mentioned in this story? And how does it tie into this idea of preparing our hearts for Christ? We're talking about two older individuals who had spent their life in service to God. But what made them fit? What made them positioned to be able to not only recognize Jesus for who he was, but to actually receive him for who he was? Because that's been the focus of these series of messages. We don't only want to talk about Jesus, we want to be able to receive him for who he really is. Not as we want him to be, but as he really is, as Scripture describes him to us as the Son of God, the Son of Man. And here are two individuals led by the Spirit of God, who just so happened to be on the temple the day that Joseph and Mary bring Jesus to honor the Lord and to dedicate him to the purposes of God. I want to point out three things that I see in their lives that I think are vital for us to think about and actually ask ourselves, are we in a similar position to receive Christ? The first thing that I note in the text is that these were individuals who were God-centered people. Their lives were centered in on God. Their lives were centered in on the purposes of God. Now that is really, really important in our day and age, because in our culture, we have a culture that is trying to push God out. A culture that is actually saying we think we can do this better ourselves. And yet here we see in this picture of Simeon and Anna, two individuals who had set their lives apart to be God-centered. It says of Simeon that he was a devout man, that he was a righteous man, that he was a man who really gave himself to the will and the purposes of God. It says of Anna that she was a woman who never or barely ever left the temple, but gave herself to fastings and prayer. Why? Because they were waiting for something. They were waiting for a release from God. They were waiting for the promise of God to be fulfilled. They were waiting with expectation in accordance to what they understood. And the way that they waited was being centered into the purposes of God. The second thing that I think is obvious as you look at this is they were not only waiting, but they were actually looking. That word waiting or that word looking in the text actually means to be waiting as to welcome. They were looking for that moment. They were looking for that opportunity to respond. And so they were looking and they were hoping for God to do something. How many of you are in a similar position here this morning, where you're just saying, God, I'm looking for you to do something in this situation. I'm looking, I'm waiting to welcome whatever it is you're going to do in my situation or in our situation or in our nation's situation. But then thirdly, I see this. I see that they were longing for something. They were longing for God to actually break into their day. Are you living with the expectancy that any moment God could break in? That any moment God could show up? That at any moment in your situation that God could reveal himself or will reveal himself? You see, one of the things that caused Simeon to live his life with anticipation and expectation in God is not only did he say centered on God and centered in the things of God, not only did he continually look for God to show up, but he longed for God to break in. I want to encourage you this morning to live in a similar way. Be God-centered. Be focused on what is important to the heart of God. Be looking with anticipation. Do you live your life looking for God to show up? And do you have a longing? Is there something in you that says, God, I need you to break in? I need you to break in. These are three aspects of what I see going on in the life of Simeon and Anna that I think caused them to be individuals who were prepared to receive Christ. They were ready. There was a stirring of a longing. And my challenge to you this morning is to recognize this, that I believe it is God who creates the longing, not you. I believe God so desires to show up in your situation. He so desires to break into those important moments of your life that he will even create the longing in your heart and the anticipation to wait for him, to desire him, to long for him. And so I want to just say to you that God prepares a person to receive Christ by stirring up the longings for consolation and for redemption. You see, Simeon was waiting for consolation. That word consolation simply means he was looking for the comfort of the Lord in his nation's experience. He was looking for God to show up and bring comfort to the people of God. Comfort in the midst of their sin. Comfort in the midst of their rebellion. To bring comfort means God comes and he begins to restore back to a people everything that has been lost to them because of their own disobedience. In other words, he is bigger than it all. And Simeon had such a hope in God that he says, God has told me he will not let me see death until I see his answer to our problem. And the answer to Israel's problem and the answer to your problem and my problem is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. For there is no comfort that can be experienced but the comfort that comes from knowing God cares for you. He cares for you in the midst of your situation. He cares for you in the midst of your weakness. He cares for you in the midst of your stumbling and your bumbling. He cares for you. And He has promised that through His Son, He will provide an answer to your sin sickness and mine. And when Simeon saw the baby, he said to God, you are amazing. I can die now because I've seen your answer. That's what he said. He said, I can die now. I can die a happy man. Why? Because I have seen your answer to my issues. And your answer is your son, Jesus Christ. The prophet said, when that happens, there will come comfort to the people of God. And I don't know about you, but we are in a nation right now that needs comfort. We are in a nation that is asking many questions. How can this happen? What are we going to do to prevent it? Do you understand that you cannot legislate sin sickness away? That's the issue that is creating such an issue in our land, but nobody wants to talk about it. They want to talk about all kinds of other issues that we think as human beings, if we can get control of these issues, we'll solve the problem. How many of you know that the problem is sin? And the only answer to that problem is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God says, comfort, bring comfort to my people because I have sent my son to console them in their anguish. And so Simeon says, I can die a happy man. And I love Anna's response. Anna hears, it says, she hears Simeon praying and she breaks out in a spontaneous praise pointing to the Redeemer. And she begins to sing about God's redemption. See, to redeem means to be given the power now to overcome those things that hinder me in life. And so not only is Simeon declaring for us the comfort that is found in relationship with God through his son for all of the questions that you and I have in life, that he has answered the biggest question, man's sinfulness, by sending his son to be the redeemer of all of mankind from the power of sin. And not only will he redeem you, but he will give you the power to live within redemption's power and overcome the areas that want to hold you bound in a sense. So this morning, I want you to realize along with me that God prepares us to receive Christ by stirring up a longing for consolation and redemption that can only come from Him. Only Jesus can set you free. Only Jesus can redeem you. Only Jesus can bring you and me the comfort that we need. When it seems like life is spinning out of control, Jesus is the answer. We've heard it in song today. We've sung it ourselves together today. Jesus is the answer. So I want to encourage you this morning that maybe this Christmas season, maybe some of the frustration that you feel with what seems to be empty answers in society, maybe some of that frustration has been allowed in your life by God because He wants to bring you back to the conclusion that only He can answer your question. Only He has the power to set free. Only He has the ability to comfort you in the midst of difficult situations. Only He can do that. And if there is a longing that is awakening in you and a desire to see things change in your life, I would suggest to you that it might be God who is bringing that longing and desire to you so that you might find your answer in Him. I love it. I love how God moves. I love how God restores. I love how God comes to us in our time of need. I don't know about you, but I wasn't even asking God to set me free when He came and set me free. I wasn't even looking for God to provide the answers when He actually came and provided the answers. I didn't even know I had a question. You understand what I'm saying? I was so lost, I didn't even know I had a question until God showed me the truth. Then I realized I was a mess, and I realized I needed Jesus. That's what Christmas is all about, folks. And we need to be a people that don't live Christmas just once a year or once a year during a week, but we are a people who live in the reality of the message of Christmas, who continually prepare their hearts to receive Him. Because I don't know about you, since I've been serving God and loving God and trying to do His will and honor Him with my life, the more I pursue that, the more I see of Him. The more I learn of His ways. How many of you know that you will be doing this for eternity? You'll never reach the depth of who God is because He's too deep. You'll never expand the length of God and figure out everything you need to figure out about the love of God because it's too wide. And He positions you and He positions me with a longing in our hearts to say, oh, but I want to know Him. And that's what I see in Simeon. That's what I see in Anna. Just hanging out at the temple, longing for God, a longing that had begun and precipitated by the work of God's grace in their hearts. They didn't wake up one day and just say, you know what, today I think would be a good day to start being holy. I think I'll just start today. No, God had, by His grace, begun to work something in their hearts. So, this Christmas, what is God stirring up in you? What is God working up in you? Is He creating that desire to see things that have been lost restored back? Is He showing you that through His grace and through His mercy, He can take that thing that has been dominating you and set you free from it? He wants to reveal it to you. He wants to reveal it to me. If we will give ourselves to God, if we will open ourselves to God and ask Him to come and be who He really is in our lives, and be ready to receive Him, prepare our hearts to receive Him, I guarantee you that whatever you're struggling with, He will show you how to get free. I guarantee you that where you have discomfort, where you have questions, He will bring comfort. Because the Holy Spirit is the comforter. And He is the one who comes with the message of comfort to each and every one of us in this room. So this Christmas season, I want you to prepare your heart with me. I want you to ready yourself to receive Christ. Why not? God wants to awaken a longing in you and in me, a longing to be healed, a longing to be made whole, a longing to be restored, and the realization that only He can do it. And how I need to learn how to cooperate with His grace. He wants to awaken in you the possibility of being delivered from powers that still seem to hold you in bondage. He is a redeemer. And He will redeem you from empty things. That's who He is. And that's who Simeon saw. And that's who Anna sang about. And that's who we celebrate this Christmas season. His name's Jesus. Amen. I'm going to invite the Rose family if they would come up. They have a song that they're going to close us with. And as they do, it's going to give you opportunity to enter in with them and sing along with them. I think you'll know some of the song. And then we'll close this morning's service. here together. Yes. Yes, come, Sylvia.
As I was driving here this morning, the Lord was speaking so strongly to me from this very verse about waiting for the consolation, and I actually was waiting for a break in the service. I felt it was a prophetic word.
Wow.
And I almost said, Pastor Chris, I believe I have a word, but maybe I can just give it as a confirmation of the message. But I was hearing him say, he came forth conquering and to conquer, but not to take from people as a conqueror of this earth, but that he might give to them consolation Amen. And comfort. Amen. He was challenging my heart, and I challenge you now to think of any conqueror you know in the history of man, unless that conqueror was going in the name of the Lord. Think of the greatest conquerors. Or I've been thinking, because I'm so tuned to Africa right now, of even now those that are wanting to conquer the nations, but they come with violence. Mm-hmm. They come to take. Even when God gave his answer to Israel's desire for a king, he said, he will take. Mm-hmm. I'll give you the king you're asking for, but he will take. He will take your sons. He'll take your daughters. He'll take your vineyards. He'll take. He'll take it all for himself. He will take. But when God gives a king after his own heart, who comes forth to conquer, he comes in order that he may console. And the scripture of waiting for that consolation became stronger to me. And my sense is that here in this service, there is a spirit of consolation. This isn't just a Christmas message. Right. It's not a word. It's a working of the Spirit that is in this house at this moment.
Yeah.
The Comforter has come. When Jesus said, I am with you, but he shall be in you, and I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Even now, Jesus himself will come Amen. To us
yes, he will.
Personally. And as I'm preparing for Africa and all the suffering that has taken place, but is taking place in the two nations we're going, I remember a day when I stood in Uganda, all the years that Idi Amin had slaughtered his own people, conquering the nation. And then AIDS was just ravaging the nation through the misuse of, or the reuse of, contaminated needles and just spreading it far and wide. And I was awakened in the night, and I saw a blanket, a cottony swath of something coming down, and it was in the shape of Uganda. And I awakened and said, what is this, Lord? He said, it is the blanket of my comfort coming down upon the nation. When I shared that with the hundreds of women that were there, they began to weep and break into an anguishing cry. You talk about this waiting for consolation.
Yeah.
There's a world really waiting for consolation.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel as though there's something in this house this morning that needs to be apprehended, not just heard as your message. I confirm your message.
Yeah.
But I feel that the spirit of comfort is in the place right now for mm-hmm. somebody that's going to lay hold of it today.
Yeah.
But then I heard him say that he would send us forth conquering and to conquer, in order to bring the message of consolation. And so by the Spirit, let us go forth as the ones who carry the spirit of comfort. Let's expect that God's going to use us sometime during this holiday season to actually bring that message to somebody, to see it work in a situation. People are going to be in families that are in chaos, they're in turmoil. But we come for the Prince of Peace, as the messengers that he is the peacemaker. We come to bring that comfort. May I just pray for that Amen. Spirit of comfort, Pastor? Amen. Thanks for
Let's
the freedom
all stand
to do that.
If we would.
And Lord, we receive it now. For everyone in the house, we receive the Spirit of comfort. We receive this consolation. We expect that in this very moment, you will be lifting burdens and you will be imparting hope into some heart of someone who is saying, "How long, O Lord? How long? How long?" And we pray for this revelation to come to us on a personal level for every need in our own lives. We thank you that the Savior has come, the Redeemer has come, the King has come to reign in our lives, to conquer in order that he might console and bring comfort. But now we offer ourselves. We yield ourselves. We say, yes, Lord, anoint me with that same spirit of grace, that same spirit of comfort. And I pray, Lord, that every one of us will be clothed in that grace for the Christmas season, that it will come if we get on a plane and sit by somebody, that it's there, the spirit of comfort. If we go into a home, it's there, the spirit of comfort. We pray for this grace to be upon us as a church, not only in the church, but as Anna went forth into the city of Jerusalem and spake of him to all who waited for redemption. Mm-hmm. So we go forth from this temple to speak of this one, because we truly know who is the Comforter. In Jesus' name, we receive it. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Dwell inside, no other man is more alive. sons of men.
Amen. 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 Father, I just ask this morning that you would just cause each and every one of us to experience what we can only experience in God, and that is that hope that comes from knowing you. And Lord, if there's anybody in this room today who has never had that kind of encounter with you, where they've said yes to you in their hearts and experienced the exhilaration of coming to know intimately and personally the Son of God, Jesus Christ, then I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would just awaken that person's heart today to the reality of this message, the truth of this message, that this Christmas they would open their heart to you and they'd say, Jesus, come in. Come in and be my comforter. Come in and be my redeemer. Come in and be the one who restores my soul. Father, I pray that as we have even heard here today, that not only would we be those who receive that message, but Lord, that we would go from this place today carrying that message to the world that we are a part of. Lord, I ask it today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.